What I'm passionate about is how technology is changing the social system, how we interact, our relationships, but also how it's changed the way we, the democracy is functioning.
Mm-hmm.
Because AI is coming into the conversations, in a way, between people, human, machine. So this is all mixed into a very complex situation. So we need to get more consciousness about what is actually happening. How are we influenced by technologies? How will technologies shape our way of thinking? How will it shape our way of interacting with others? And how we write, how we read, how we gather knowledge, how we gather information. All these things I'm very interested in to get more knowledge.
Peter Brunsig is a professor at the University of Oslo. It will not be a surprise for you if I tell you that living in Norway, he does a lot of skiing. But he told me that his main hobby instead is rather his work. And this is what we're going to discuss today. His research is on people's use of new technologies and the social impact that new technologies have. So this is what we're going to discuss, and in particular, artificial intelligence, which is a big topic nowadays.
Yeah, so far there are actually some already discussions about the impact of artificial intelligence. I mean, we hear about it a lot in the news. And do you think that people are aware enough, because you want people to be more aware, so you would say that people actually don't realize the impact it can have? Or do you think we speak too much on one topic but not enough on another topic?
So I think the knowledge about how AI works, not works, is very little. Also, this is so complex to understand. So even me as a researcher for ages, as problems in understanding how AI is actually impacting me as a human. So what I write about in one article is the concept of model power, that AI has certain model power, that it can shape how we think, can shape our language, and that humans is in a way quite model weak, because we don't have the concepts to actually understand what's going on. So we just go along what AI is telling us. So this is what worries me.
So this concept of model power, I think you, because I've read your article, you take it from an author, a previous author, and you apply it to artificial intelligence, right? Maybe can you tell us what this author says about model power, so that we can understand how it can be applied after to artificial intelligence? What is model power?
Model power is, for instance, institutions, that have, in a way, the power to define how the world looks like. This theory by one called Bråten is applied to understand society and how it works, and how he is saying that society is not a real democracy in a way, because some people have the definition of power, but we are in a way playing sort of a game that we all are in a discussion, all are in a position to change ideas and how the world is functioning. But according to Broughton, this is a kind of a fake kind of dialogue, because there is some that are in this position to actually define how it looks like. And I think AI now is this position.
So I want after to understand better the how it can be applied to artificial intelligence, just to make this idea, maybe I'm trying to take an example to understand it, the model power. Would it mean, I mean, I think it can also apply even in social situation, like even in a classroom where there are different students. And basically, if I understand correctly, it would mean that some students of this classroom, they have a certain understanding or view of the world, of how things work, their model, and others have a different one. But there is one weaker model and one stronger model. I don't know if that's the word. And then what happens is that the weaker models actually start to take the idea of the stronger model. They start to become influenced and go with the stronger model.
Some people or a lot of people goes with the stronger model because we are influenced by it. So it's not a proper dialogue.
Mm.
It's some people that are steering the dialogue in society.
Mm.
So the dialogue is fake or a play that is not real, because some people have the definition power and the definition power of the world. And I think that if you look into the media production, for instance, newspaper production, this have been, the definition power has been humans and editors and journalists. But this is not necessarily the case anymore, because now it's more and more engineers, technologies that are having this power. And now we have the AI models that are, in a way, conceptualizing how we should understand the world more and more. So this is what I see is concern.
So this phenomenon of model power, it's interesting to understand from what you say that it's always been happening, right? Before this model power, what the stronger model power, like you were saying, more journalists or influencers, I don't know, of the previous centuries. And now it's a new kind of influencers, maybe not the Instagram influencers, but rather at least at the level of society, the people who, the big technology, the ones who, because they influence so much. So by this, you're thinking of Google, Apple, Facebook, the GAFAM, right? What we call the GAFAM, Microsoft.
Engineers and technology owners that have this power. For instance, I mean, Elon Musk that bought Twitter. He is doing this to have a kind of a model monopoly. Because he knows that Twitter is actually influencing the agenda in the news and what people are talking about. So he wants to control this environment. And now we see this more and more with AI models. You have ChatGPT that are, a lot of people are concerned that ChatGPT is left-leaning. It's like a liberal college student talking.
Mm-hmm.
So then We have other models, Grok, this is made by Elon Musk and so on.
Mm-hmm.
That is is trying to challenge this worldview presented by ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
Because ChatGPT is defined as a woke AI, a liberal AI, a left-leaning AI. While Grok is more a right-leaning AI, so you have different AI models in a kind of ideological world trying to present their worldviews.
Mm.
But in the long run, this diversity, or this diversity is somehow good, but it can also polarize the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the long run, it's only be some certain big models that will be owning in a way the worldview.
Mm-hmm.
The business models around this model is very complex.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point in time, we are in a wild west kind of environment, as we saw also with social media in the beginning. It was a lot of different social media channels.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly Facebook, Instagram, or Meta, and then you have TikTok. But I think this diversity of AI models is going to vanish, and that there is only some certain models that will be on top.
So there are plenty of very interesting things in this. I mean, one is the political orientation of these tools. So, but even I'm thinking, of course, of, I mean, I didn't know actually that artificial intelligence had this reputation. Like, so we should call it social artificial intelligence when they are actually interacting with humans and producing words, right? And that ChatGPT could be more left-leaning, and another one, for instance, the one Groot, Grok by Elon Musk, more right-leaning. Yeah, I didn't know that they could have this difference of political orientation. And then you say that maybe at the beginning it there is some diversity, and you also say, interestingly, that it's a good thing. And then you, it could be, okay. And then you say that it's, you think that it's gonna get more homogeneous. I'm thinking also that we could translate it with social networks. So social networks, they also have like left-leaning, maybe would be more Facebook, Zuckerberg, I think so. More right-leaning with Elon Musk, Donald Trump, social media as well.
Social truth.
Yeah, social truth, exactly. With Trump, yeah.
So this is in a way the same landscape is now coming into these AI models, as we see in social media.
And before that, so before social networks, we also had, like you said, newspapers. Of course, I mean, we still have more left-leaning, right-leaning. And there, what is new, I understand also with the... there are actually two things that I see are new with artificial intelligence. The first one is that we don't realize so much. I mean, personally, I'm a student in politics, and I didn't even really think about ChatGPT being politically oriented, for instance. And so, yeah, maybe we should be more aware of that. And another thing is that it's at an unprecedented scale, because newspapers, they were still national or regional, even though they were everywhere. Social networks, maybe they were already everywhere in the world. So what would you say is new with artificial intelligence? Is this rather the first element that people, it's harder for them to realize that it's politically oriented? Or would you say there's...
Stop for manipulation, because when you when you go to the shop to buy a newspaper, as we did before, or we could have, order some newspapers that we actually enjoyed. It was, in a way, we knew that this was left-leaning, we knew that this was right-leaning, but in the AI world, this is much more subtle. Mm-hmm. It's much more hard to actually see what's going on, because it's not brand, ChatGPT is not branding itself as being left-leaning. Group is not branding itself as being right-leaning. So, I think that when it comes, or Gemini, this Google model as well, is also regarded as very liberal, very left-leaning, very woke. Some of these models, like Gemini, is not even possible to discuss politics because it's very afraid of touching on people's toes regarding a political view.
But
anyway, there is, everything is political in a way. So if you ask Gemini to write an essay regarding health, regarding fashion, regarding environment, it will be political alignment into the wordings that Gemini is choosing. So we are in a situation where AI has what I call content regimes. It decides on topic, it decides on perspective, it decides on language, which influence our maybe political viewpoints or our stand in some cases.
I'm thinking maybe for people it could be hard to understand how this can be, how it materializes. I mean, how it can induce more left-leaning or more right-leaning views. Because, for instance, if you are on ChatGPT, what you use it for is to rewrite sentences, maybe to ask questions about health, about law. Do you have any example of how this can reveal some political orientation?
I mean, language is what we use to define the world. Language is what we use to define democracy. Language is what we use to progress, to think, to define the world. These models are large language models. They are using language to define everything. So there is several examples that could be telling that ChatGPT whatever is having biases, having a political orientation. And there is also studies that has revealed that these different AI models have different political orientations, because they are learned on a lot of different sources online. And it's not surprising that ChatGPT is left-leaning and liberal, because most of the content online is developed by left-leaning liberal people. So it's just, in a way, adopting this kind of world.
It's very interesting. Do you think that it could become like used as a ideological weapon? So I'm thinking, because I'm also interested in international relations. So do you think that, I think they maybe are already doing that, like countries which are against the liberal paradigm of international relations, they could build their own artificial intelligence to counterbalance these views?
So this is a very good point, because if you go back to Diderot, what was the purpose he had? It was to collect all knowledge in the world into a book.
Right.
To democratize the world knowledge.
Right.
I think what large language models is doing is the same. Try as Diderot to collect the world knowledge into one AI model. But after Diderot and the encyclopedia, it became an ideological tool. So it started to pop up different encyclopedias around the world. The Soviet Russians had one with one viewpoint, and the Americans had one, and the Norwegians had one, the French had one. So it was kind of reflecting not only a cultural heritage, but also a political ideological view. And this is happening now with AI models, that it pops up different AI models. You have one that is building up in Qatar that is reflecting Muslims' values. You have in Russia that are reflecting Russian values. A lot of different models in the US. You have a Mistral, the French model, that is trying to reflect some more European values. So we have, in a way, the same development as we saw with the encyclopedias.
Very interesting. And so we understand that this is the problematic situation we are with, or this is, then I want to to what extent is it problematic? Because we saw it happening with encyclopedia, maybe with newspapers, I mean with many things, and like you say, everything is political. So what is the solution, if there's one? Can we escape this politicization of large language models? Or
so that's a really big question. Probably not, because, I mean, but most people assume that technology is objective in a way. The technology is never objective. It has never been objective.
Yes.
I think transparency is a key here. So I think the news media has never been objective, those either, even if they try. But if they tell the reader, why do we write about this situation, what kind of viewpoints are we selecting? We are selecting viewpoints from there and there to make it more balanced. I think this is also key for AI models, that they are transparent about why did I gave you this output, and I have tried to be balanced because I are using this and this and this sources. So I think the AI model needs to, in a way, be implemented with this kind of technology or this kind of design, that they actually tell the user what kind of sources they have been using and why they have selected these sources and not those.
So at the end, it's not about escaping the politicization of these tools. I mean, in the sense, it's not trying to make them value-free because it's impossible, but it's rather about making it as transparent as possible and that people are clearly aware which sources, why it gives this result, why this result may be oriented. And so transparency is the key at the end.
Transparency is the key.
And what's fascinating here also, because this was also in your article, is, I mean, you started saying this, that you're, what you would like to change in the world is more awareness, like that people know about that. And in your article, and I know, I mean, I laughed when reading it because I knew I'm the first one who was guilty of this. When we ask a large language model about information, they give us some answers, and these answers seem very not authoritarian, or like they seem very affirmative, you know, they are very
convincing.
Very convincing. And therefore we believe it, you know. And it's true that sometimes I tend to trust, to over rely on them, like to trust even more than maybe I should.
This is a human weakness, because we want to have tasks done fast.
Mm-hmm.
And some are using the word cognitive laziness, that we are getting more and more lazy.
Mm.
Because we have this gratification of I need to do something very fast, and things is going faster and faster. I mean, before we had to go to the library, pulling out a different book, check, no, this was not the correct book, I had to rent a new book, etc. And now, then we had the internet, Google, etc. And now we have these AI models, so the information flow, it's just getting faster and faster. And there has been also some experiments that shows that this is not a good way of learning new things.
Mm.
Because it's so fast. And if people is going to learn something, it needs to be quite hard. Need to use a lot of energy into a certain task to actually learn and understand.
Yeah.
So if we make use of these large language models such as ChatGPT for learning, it's not a good solution.
Right. Well, so I mean, then the question, I totally agree with this, to learn, I also heard and read that you need, it has to be complicated, and then it gets even better written in your mind.
So learning is hard work.
Yeah.
ChatGPT is not hard work.
Yeah, yeah. Then, I mean, about that specific point, I would say that maybe it's not sometimes such an issue, because if we take, for instance, when Wikipedia came, we started to freak out, because with Wikipedia we have the answer instantly, so maybe students, they don't need to look at the encyclopedia on the library, look for it, start to memorize it, because with Google or Wikipedia they have the answer immediately. Then the question is, maybe we can mobilize our brain for something different, because we know we have this database of knowledge which is always accessible, so maybe we can just put our energy to other tasks that are more fitting.
So the question is, what kind of other tasks are we talking about here, and how should me as a teacher actually learn students today? Because there is facts and things can, in a way, just find on Wikipedia and Google, or GPT is so accessible, as you say. I have to learn them something different. So what I'm trying to do is to learn the students to use ChatGPT, but also to reflect on how we are using it to actually understand all the biases that are inserted in the system that we don't see at all.
Yeah.
But I think all teachers around the world is in somehow struggling to understand what should we teach and how should we teach ChatGPT and Google.
Because here, I mean, this is critical skills are very much at the center of what we should also be teaching.
I think finding the sources of the content that are generated in AI is more and more difficult. Some people are talking about an information apocalypse. That the information system is going to be broken total, because AI generated content is going to be infusing the whole online sphere.
Yeah.
So AI generated content in 2 years, some have anticipated that 90% of the content online is created by machines.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, very relevant for the ideal model power. If all the content online, which also Google is approaching in search engine, is made by machines.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not so afraid of this because I'm in this apocalypse of information. I mean, I see that happening. I see, okay, like this, maybe internet will be flooded with artificial intelligence generated text. But I think people, I mean, thanks to your talk, for instance, today, people will start to be aware of that. And then what is written will have different values. So we could even put like a score between how much human is something or in scientific world, in academia, there are peer reviewers that check that this is correct and this is good. And I think that could be, this will continue to exist and will become even more important. And based on that, we could have some different quality of text and we can distinguish between them. So I don't think it will be an issue in the long run.
It's, I think it can be also a positive development, because people might need to be more, you know, critical as never before. And this awareness is also something that young people learn in school today, that they have to be very critical what they are finding online.
Yeah.
And this is good. And this is the best, in a way, weapon people have against misinformation, disinformation, hallucinations, whatever, online. But also, I think there can be a positive development in terms of traditional media use outlets. Maybe we will find social media to be flooded by misinformation and AI generative content. Could be might turn to the newspapers and the media outlets instead for getting knowledge and information about what's happening in the world.
Right. Maybe that will get even more, some sources will get even more importance for us. It's starting to rain, so I just have like one or two last questions. I think just one. This podcast is called, is all about a change in the world, also based on a quote from Gandhi saying, be the change you want to see in the world, which is actually wrongly attributed to him. But then my question is very simple. There we've given some solutions, so transparency, critical thinking, maybe that would be the answer you give to my question. At the individual level, so for one person, what can they do to make progress about this topic?
I think they should experiment with various AI models and see what kind of responses they get. To actually create a kind of awareness of what's really happening behind the scene here, because we often think that technology is objective, as I said, but this is not true. They create language, and language creates meaning, it creates thinking and everything. So we need this kind of awareness about how these systems work. So we need critical thinking, we need awareness, and the systems need to be transparent.
That's an awesome idea. I'm thinking, for instance, like we were talking about teachers, we never really know about how to approach this new phenomenon. Maybe a nice exercise would be to indeed ask different artificial intelligence the same question and then compare the answer and then try to identify what lies behind that and why there are these differences.
It's a good idea to exercise these different outcomes that these different models give.
Awesome. I love this. So thank you a lot, and bye-bye to everyone.
Okay.
Thanks. Thanks a lot for having listened to this episode. Just like in the last 2 months, we're gonna have this mini challenge. So this month, I would like to suggest you what has already been suggested actually during the episode, which is to use different large language models, ask the same exact question, and see how the results may differ. Let's share all of that together and hopefully we'll see some interesting findings. Thanks again and see you on the 1st December for the next episode.